Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC Leadership Team ELT monthly conference call on Wednesday, the 28th of May, 2014. The time is 20:06 UTC, and we will start immediately with the roll call and apologies. Gisela?
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Holly Raich, Tijani Benjima, Evan Leibovich, Maureen Hilliard, Julie Hammer. Alan Greenberg will be joining us in the next 30 minutes, and Dev Anand-Tilipsing should be on his way in. From her staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Young, Terry Agnew, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody for this wonderful evening in Europe and morning in Australia and the sort of the eastern part of the world and daytime in the western part of the world. It's a short call, I hope. We've got a number of things, though, that we need to discuss, and certainly a follow-up to our very long marathon call that we had yesterday, I believe. But let's immediately start with a review of the action items from our last ELT meeting and then the ALAC call that we had. So first, the ELT meeting on the 14th of May. Earlier this month, and we'll just have a look scrolling down over to the open action items, and I'm glad to note that of there are more and more action items that are complete. The open action items are very much like the ones that we were reviewing yesterday. So for Ariel to work with Dave and Olivier on the development and the overall workspace for the collection of at-large AIs, that's ongoing. For Cheryl, Evan, and Rudy to liaise with Rudy in regards to the implementation of consumer metrics and follow up further details. So then there was an additional action item that was brought yesterday, which we'll probably be touching on in a moment, where staff had to find out what that action item actually meant. I'm not actually even sure whether staff has found out what this action item means yet.
No.
Heidi?
No.
Okay, so that answers the question. Next, staff to monitor the use of additional languages over the course of a few months. And as you know, everything started yesterday on the ALAC call, which started with, for the first time, having Russian interpretation. So that will be monitored, and it's also a thought that shortly we will also have Chinese interpretation that will be made available. Ariel Liang to work with Alan Greenberg on updating the former at-large structure's workspace and ensure that its information is accurate and up-to-date. Also, a thing that's still ongoing. Ariel, can you confirm, please?
Yes, this is Ariel for the record. This AI has been ongoing, and Alan and I will schedule a time to talk on Friday or next week.
Fantastic. Thank you. And then finally, staff to publicize the ALAC GAC meeting question space and ALAC board meeting question space on the ALAC list and request topics for these meetings. Now, as you know, there is not going to be a formal meeting between the GAC and the ALAC. I suspect that this is not because the GAC doesn't like us, far from it, but because the GAC has got a very full agenda with a high-level meeting on the Monday. And then this poisonous debate about this alcoholic or sometimes non-alcoholic grape-based drink, which actually no, it's always alcoholic, grape-based drink that seems to be poisoning things at the moment, and so they need a lot more time to discuss things. With regards to the ALAC board meeting questions, we will be touching on this later on in this call. That's the open action items. Looking further down at the newly assigned action items, they have all been completed. The floor is open for question, comments, or anything else, really, if you wish to add any thought to this. I see no one. So let's move on then. Let's go to the other set of action items, and that's the that's yesterday's call then. So the ALAC monthly conference call on the 27th of May. And here again, we will be scrolling down, and we still have a number of open action items, and let's have a look at them. The first one, the new GTLD working group to analyze the input on the PAB and to suggest the next step by contacting at-large staff. The comment closes on the 7/5/2014. This actually, I think, can be put as done, because we did have an action item yesterday for the new GTLD working group to start the analysis. It's just that this one at the moment has got an obsolete date. In fact, Evan, you were not at that time on the call when we mentioned this, but then later on we touched on it at the end of the call. I don't know, has there been any development since yesterday?
No, I only missed the first 20 minutes. I remember that there was that when this was under discussion, that there was a mention that there was going to be the usual activity of staff summarizing the comments, and that was going to be brought forward to the committee. I mean, we can start to move forward without that. But that was what was mentioned yesterday in accordance to previous public comments, is that there's a staff activity in summarizing the comments received, and then that ends up driving the rest of the working group. Because there weren't a whole lot of comments, we can probably start going on what we have now, but that's what I recall from yesterday.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan. I'll leave this in your hands, and I guess this really is down to your working group to look at. It might be worth sending a note to the working group to let people in your working group spend time to read through some of the comments that were made. And that might be a good step to get people to work a bit.
I have one question at this point, Olivier, and I just want to get the feel for the rest of the group. As you know, there's been a couple of people from outside ALAC that were also involved with us in initiating all of this. Would it be appropriate to invite them to participate in the working group at this point, since they were active in working with us to put this forward? I'm thinking Ron, Marilyn, and so on.
Thank you, Evan. I see agreement from Holly, a green tick next to her name. What do others think on this?
I mean, they're open meetings. I'm just wondering if there's any objection to me having a formal invitation to them.
Yeah, thanks very much, Evan. I note that there are some green ticks from Maureen Hilliard, Holly Reich, and I guess you probably agree with this since you bring this forward. I agree with you that all the discussions are open. With regards to a formal invitation, have we ever invited anyone to formally join a group? Or because I'm not quite sure, would they be interested in joining the group, or would they just be interested in being part of the discussions? I don't see any barrier to them attending the discussions and bringing their input in. It really is down to the chair of the working group.
Sorry, what I meant by formal, Olivier, is simply indicating to them that the meeting is taking place. They wouldn't normally be participating at a working group level thing in ALAC, so this is more a matter of bringing it to their attention than you know, an absolutely formal thing.
Yeah, thanks, Evan. It's Olivier speaking. I certainly don't see a barrier to that either.
Cool.
As I said, the chair of the working group is able to do whatever they want, as long as you don't plan to do something that will go against the ALAC rules. But I don't see any rules, as far as I know, that stops you from inviting people over onto the call.
Cool. Okay, thanks. Done.
Okay, thank you. Let's continue on our list here. So the next one, the railroad leaders to follow up on the ALS is to be decertified, listed on on that page, and I think that is done as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's pretty much on the cards as well. Now, next, Natalie Peregrine to post the new online ELS application info in the wiki space, viewable to the public and publicize the wiki space. We know that's on its way as well. So let's keep this, for the time being, unchecked. Ariel Yang to work with Dave and Olivia on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large AIs that's ongoing. Cheryl, Evan, and Rudy to speak to each other we know about. That's the consumer metrics question that we just touched on about 3 minutes ago. And staff to monitor the use of additional languages we've also dealt with a few minutes ago. That is essentially a copy of the ALAC call, the last ALC call action items. The newly assigned action items. Now, these are the interesting and important ones. We've got... did I just hear Evan? Yes, Evan, please, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to put to bed that one action item that keeps propping up about Cheryl, Rudy, and myself. The Consumer Choice Review, the Consumer Choice Group is still meeting and active. When there's a report to be presented, there will. I mean, Cheryl, Rudy, and myself are all three members of the committee. I'm not sure why this keeps cropping up as a recurring item. I'm more than happy to liaise with the ALAC and the ALT and present news when it comes. I don't know why it needs to be an explicit... Actually, Cheryl and I were in conversation yesterday, not understanding why this was an explicit action item, where this came from. This is ongoing work. When there's a milestone, and there may be one soon, there'll be something to report. But until then, I'm not quite sure why this crops up as an explicit action item. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Does anyone have an idea how this came up?
Olivia, this is Heidi.
Please go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, I suspect this is something from Singapore that came up during the meeting. So it sounds like we can just sort of check two boxes today.
I would suggest doing that, Heidi. This is Evan. In just saying that when news comes up from that committee, you've got Cheryl, myself, and Rudy that are all a part of it, including as well as Christopher Wilkinson. So there's good representation there, and when there's news to come out of it, we'll bring it. I don't think it needs explicit comment as action items. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And just as a reminder, yes, this was a discussion that we had in Singapore. There was a potential problem at some point when some of the consumer metrics were being under danger of being struck out through lack of participation and so on. And there was a bit of tension at the time. We discussed this in Singapore when face-to-face, and this is how the action item came to be for our three main participants, Cheryl, Evan, and Rudy, in that working group to speak to each other and constantly liaise and then be able to come back to us. And I think that might be the part which was not in the action item. Come back to the ALAC and let us know on ALAC calls how progress is going on. This is quite a key issue for at-large and for end users. And therefore, we need to keep a very close watch and close eye over it. So I'm thrilled to actually say yes, as a person who loves ticking boxes. Please, 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 let's tick it.
They've been ticked. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for this, Evan. You've just made our day and made Heidi's day by having two boxes ticked as a good step forward. And we've got the newly assigned action items. Let's see if we can tick more boxes. Olivia, to take up the issue of volunteer recognition and consideration with other ESSO and ESSI chairs as an ICANN-wide issue. And unfortunately, I've not done that yet. I'm trying to push on a few other things at the moment, namely to try and invite them to our ESSO and ESSI early morning discussions with the Atlas too. And the response rate has been a little bit slow at the moment due to other discussions taking place, namely some discussions on the IANA transition issue and also the recent thread on the GAC high-level meeting where there's been a question by people and asking, you know, are we all allowed to go into the high-level meeting discussions? Would we be able to take the floor in front of a GAC or speak or et cetera? And so there's been a bit of a discussion on that. The curation working group to discuss the
Sorry, Olivier, I got my hand up on that on a brief thing.
Please go ahead.
Actually, just trying to connect the dots with something we were talking about yesterday. So here's an issue about volunteer recognition. And yesterday, the ALAC had on its plate the issue of director remuneration. And during that call, that issue was linked. I'm wondering if these two things have some relation to each other that allows us to connect the dots. Because the concept of volunteer recognition definitely came up as a whole during yesterday's discussion on director compensation. Just tossing it out, I think there's a linkage.
Okay, thanks, Evan. It's just that, you know, this is quite a different discussion from the other discussions that are going on, and it seems at the moment, from what I see on the SOAC chairs list, which is strange because, by the way, this appears to be a list that is not openly consultable outside SOAC chairs. The discussion seems to just be between three people and very few others actually saying anything. But there's certainly been a bit of question with regards to scheduling of meetings and things moving around, and it's been a bit of a... I'm not quite sure, but we've got all of our meetings set up, and they haven't. So their mind is currently occupied by this. But I will ask in the next few days to follow up on this. And certainly, yes, I know it's an important topic that we need to address. Tijani.
Thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Yeah. Tijani speaking. Yesterday, this action item came while we were talking about Alan's statement about the board members' compensation, remuneration, if you want. And I think it is tightly linked to the other point, to the point that Evan just raised. And this action item was made, but also there is another action item saying that Alan take the pen and hold the pen and draft a statement, not his own statement, but a statement for ALAC that he put on the wiki and that we can comment on, and if there is consensus, it will be used as an ALAC statement about this issue. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tijani, and that's indeed understood, and I know that there's been a thread on the ALAC mailing list, which I've just replied to, and so I think that what Alan has drafted as a first draft needs to be slightly modified, will be put on the wiki, and then a commenting period will be given prior to having a second draft and seeing if we have consensus on this.
So my point is, there is another action item that, which is not on the on the action item page.
It was not on the action items page, Tijani, because it was part of the policy development, so maybe you're thinking. It was part of the policy development page, and so the only action item which was on there, I think, was for, if I can see this correctly, and I don't know why it's missing, actually, there was a note which was saying that Ariel Liang should move that statement from being a no statement to an actual statement with a first draft, etc. But I gather that because it is policy development, it didn't come into the action item as an action item. It was just taken on board by Ariel. Can staff confirm this, please?
This is Ariel speaking. I'm actually moved that action item to the recently closed action items because I thought Alan already posted his draft on Wiki, but I can uncheck that box and make sure this draft is transformed into an ALAC statement. And now I will.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ariel. So yes, so one blinks one's eyes and one then sees that Ariel Yang to move the board member compensation up to the open PC section of the PD page and Alan to post the first draft on the wiki. Well, there you go, Tijani. The action item has just gone so fast, it's already done before it's even been opened. Very quick. That's what I call efficiency. Thank you, Ariel. Great. So let's move on, please. We're spending too much time on that. Curation Working Group to discuss the name, the change of its name in the next call, and that's going to happen tomorrow. Staff to perform the initial analysis of the PAB public forum contributions in the new GTLD Working Group to take up the follow-up work on this. And, of course, we've just discussed this a moment ago. So that's also in progress. Natalie Peregrine to send an email to the ALAC list about these certification emails that were sent to the ALSs, minus the ALS from Costa Rica. Natalie, is there a follow-up on this? Is Natalie indeed on the call?
Olivia, this is Heidi. Natalie is not on the call, and as far as I've seen it, there's not. We're still waiting from legal. It's past one hurdle in legal, and we just are waiting for another person to come in, and we'll be able to post it. And then it goes to IT, who thinks that they will be able to post it very quickly.
I'm sorry, it's Olivia speaking. Can you just let us know what the process is? Because I'm not quite sure what has gone to legal.
Yeah, so basically we've shown the new application to legal because it had some additional questions. And there's an element in the bylaws that says that if the ALS certification needs to be approved by the board process. So we wanted to make sure that the few changes did not surpass any kind of hurdle that meant that it needed to go to the board. And so far we've heard back from one person in legal saying no, the changes are not significant enough to warrant that. So we're just waiting for another colleague to say the same thing, and then we'll be able to post it, and it will be ready to go.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. You've just taught us how to make a cake whilst I was asking you how to make a starter. What I mean by that is that we're speaking about decertification emails at the moment. We're not speaking about that automatic online certification. Never mind, that's fine. We've got an answer that we can bank for later. When we will ask you the question, we'll say just refer to the earlier part in the transcript. Thank you very much. That must be page 3 or 4. So coming back to this one, the email to the ALAC list about decertification emails that were sent to the ALSs on the formal at-large structure workspace, minus the ALS from Costa Rica. What I understood from the discussion yesterday was that Alan was going to send out the proposed decertification motion, and we already have seconders for each one of these, and once these are sent out to the list, then we can start the vote. That's what I felt.
I will need to follow up on that and with Natalie and see where we are. I know that we're eager to start the vote ASAP. I'll make a note of that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Heidi. So next, staff to explain. Did somebody just try speaking? No? Staff to explain the open action item. So this is the one, the explanation. You can pick this one. Excellent. And then staff to form the thematic groups so that they can be proceeded forward. And I know there was a question from staff on this. That really is basically gathering the thematic group poll results from Carlos Reyes and then creating those thematic groups. That was the action item itself. Could we have an update on that, please, Heidi?
Yes, he is going. This is Heidi, for the record. We talked. Carlos and I spoke about that today. I'm hoping that he'll be able to start populating the thematic groups later today and have them finished by the end of the workday today. And I'm suspecting that is the best way to basically add a table on each of those thematic group workspaces with the name of the person as well as their RALO. Or how do you wish these thematic groups to be listed?
Thanks, Heidi. I know that having read the email thread, Tijani Benjamin has a few views on this, and so I hand the floor over to Tijani.
Thank you, Olivier. I think that staff has already to proceed to form the groups according to the survey result with people who already took the survey. Those who didn't take it, we have to make a call with the staff and the event groups, with the whole event group, including the thematic groups subgroup, and we have to see how to balance the groups and how to make use of the rooms according to their capacities. And this must be done between the staff and the group, because there is two considerations. There is the logistics consideration, which are the rooms, etc., and the language translation, etc., because there is translation only in two rooms. And on the other hand, we have the balance for the themes, for the groups, etc. So this work must be done between all of us. First, we have to already constitute the groups with people who already took the survey, and then a call to complete this work. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. Does this answer your question, Heidi?
Somewhat. So what I'm hearing is from Carlos is that there have been 91 respondents. So that is a decent number, better than we had the first time around. So how would you like these listed on the thematic group pages? Would you like a table that lists the name and the RALO, or how would you like them listed?
Yes, tables, for sure. Tables, okay. For each theme, you have a table with people who will be in this group with their affiliation, with their RALO, for sure.
Okay, and Carlos is also saying that it was a preference survey, so people noted their preference. So, for example,
yes.
We don't want to give everyone their first preference if the room that it's been allocated is a small room, or do we want to note that? How do we want? Do we want to list their preferences? How do you wish to publicize the results?
Yes. First, since we don't have everyone who have taken the survey, we will use the first preference for people who already took the survey and put them in the right groups. And then to complete the groups, we will use the other choices for people use the other people to complete the groups, because except if we have one group for more than a reasonable number as a first choice. So it is a work which is not automatic. First of all, try to put the first choice for each one in the group, and then we will. That's why we need a call to complete the work.
Okay, I think I have it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Tijani, for explaining this, and thank you, Heidi, for raising the question. One thing you did say was to say, well, how do we do if we have too many people that want to be going into a group that will be allocated a small room? And really, the rooms will be allocated after we know the size of the groups.
Correct.
That's
correct.
And that's the part of,
exactly.
Part of the thing is that our only concern, though, is that if we have a very wide spread of people who do not speak English, a wide spread into those three. And so if we have, like, let's say, a small group of people that don't speak English that are in a small group, and yet we can only have interpretation facilities in the large room. And I really hope that we don't end up in such a situation. So we'll have to see. Until we get the results from Carlos and we have those tabulated, then we'll be able to find out. It would be good to have a table and find out the sheer numbers, and then we will have to maybe manually have to balance things out. Question though, whose job is it to balance this out? Is it will it be Tijani and who else? So what working group will work on that?
Yes, it will be the event welcome group with the staff together.
Okay, right. Well,
as you said, Olivier, there is a problem of logistic, of translation, of interpretation, and we need to balance the groups according to the language spoken, according to the capacity of the rooms, and according of the survey result.
And then we were able to play with the spare number of people who have not responded and put them in a room which will fit their language, maybe fit some of their background. That's the other thing. I mean, are you just going to allocate people randomly, or will you think, person, I know they would be more likely to be interested in this thing or that thing?
First of all, we will try to make we will use the issue of language before. People who don't speak English, for example, must be an interpreted session. Who can speak one or the other, in this case, we will try to find to see if some of us know what is his preference, his logic preference.
Okay, so that's one more thing. I know it's not easy. That's why we're spending a bit of time on this, just to make sure we're clear on that. And it's Olivia speaking again. And last thing, Heidi, do we have an exact capacity details of each one of those rooms? Because if we allocate 30 people to a room and there are only 25 chairs, on the day it's going to introduce real problems.
This is Heidi. I have to look at the iScheduler that we have internally to see the absolute numbers, and we can get that before the events call that will be scheduled to allocate the final numbers.
Okay. Thank you, Heidi. And I'm discussing this here because I know the events call is coming, and I don't want this events call to be wasted. We're only 3 weeks away. So and that's really the discussion on putting people in what group and so on should be something that shouldn't take three calls. It should be just dealt with in 20 minutes and done and dusted, and other things should be dealt with. There are so many other issues that need to be tightened now, and we really are at a position now when we have to start tightening screws, not starting to open new nuts and bolts and things. Tijani, and then we'll move on.
Yes.
Tijani Benjema.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Heidi, I apologize. It is better to have the whole preference of people who took the survey together with the allocation that Carlos will do, so that when we have the call, we all have the other preference of people. If we need to balance the groups of it, if there is a real necessity to make change from the first choice to the second choice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'm noting this to Carlos now. So, okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. And that closes our action items for the time being. Are there any other questions or comments on the action item? And I note that Alan has come into the room and he wanted to discuss the first action item. We can discuss this during the next part, which is the agenda item on the policy discussion, since this is a policy matter. So without any further ado, let's go over to number three on our agenda. That's the policy development activities. And let's start, exactly as Alan wanted to touch on this, with the board member compensation, where the ALAC is considering drafting a statement. I invite you all to that public comment page, or the wiki space, which has already got now some text in there. And Alan, you have the floor to explain or ask your question or start the discussion. Alan Greenberg.
Okay. My understanding, incorrect apparently, is that I was supposed to post what I said, and then others would join in and say whether the ALEC needed a unique statement or there would simply be a statement of support of it or neither. Apparently, Olivia, that it was not what you intended, but the intention was to draft a statement based on mine, but perhaps deviating from it. So I guess I want some clarity to make sure we're all in the same, you know, the same chart. If the statement's simply going to say the same thing, I see no need to redraft it. A statement can simply say we support it. If there is a need to deviate, then I guess a separate statement is warranted, and you know, the powers that be will have to hold them up to the light to see what the differences are. So I just want some clarity so I know what if I'm supposed to be doing something or not.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tirani Benjamin, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Olivier, and thank you, Alan, for drafting the statement. My understanding, I sent it on the mail, on the email list. My understanding was that you hold the pen to prepare a first draft, not on your behalf, on the behalf of ALAC. And if there is a consensus, it will be the statement of ALAC that will be sent. This was the decision of yesterday.
Okay, thanks very much, Tijani. So, the facts are, it's Olivier speaking, the facts are that Alan has now posted the a statement to the public comment on his own behalf in a purely individual capacity. And he has sent a copy of it over to the comments box on the wiki space. And so we have a number of avenues open to us here. The first avenue is for the ALAC to draft a statement and to say that it fully supports the statement that Alan has posted in his private capacity to the public comment page. The second solution is for the ALAC to draft its own statement, and we would therefore need a pen holder, and it would probably make sense to have Alan maybe hold the pen on this. The third option is for this statement to be put as a first draft to the ALAC statement, and then for everyone in at large to comment on it and to amend this statement according to the comments. These are the three. Of course, the fourth option is for the ALAC to do nothing, but that will stick to the side since we've heard yesterday that there was an interest in the ALAC releasing a statement. I see Evan Leibovich and then Tijani Benjema. Evan, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. I've got a question, and I guess the answer to which will determine which of the various options you just described I like. And that question is to Olivier. Going back to something that we talked about earlier on this call before Alan came on, when you were talking about the discussion within the SO and AC's chairs about volunteer recognition and that kind of thing, is there anything out of any of the discussions you've had along those lines that would add any contribution of substance to talk about the issue of volunteer recognition and in the context of board compensation? If there is something to add, then there might be value to our doing our own statement. If there isn't anything to add, I would recommend simply having ALAC formally endorse what Alan has already submitted. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And I'll answer your question right away. So the discussion at the moment on the SO and AC chairs list is not dealing with this topic. We have had some discussions in the past about this very topic of volunteer recognition. We have made our concerns known to ICANN staff that SOAC chairs of working groups are often thanked, etc., and recognized board members are thanked and recognized, but people in working groups and volunteers themselves have very seldom any kind of formal recognition. And so this gave rise to the concept of the Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award, which is something that is now under development. And in fact, you would have seen some requests for nominations, and the committee dealing with this, and I'm part of that committee, is having weekly conference calls now to evaluate the different nominations which were received. Aside from that, there was no discussion, and I'm just working from memory here, I don't think that there was any discussion about volunteer retribution as far as monetary compensation is concerned. And therefore, the request that I was asked to yesterday, the action item that I was asked to perform, which is to ask the SO and AP chairs and open the discussion about this topic of compensation, is compensation of volunteers is something which would open a new chapter. And as I said, I'm sorry I haven't started it yet. Now, that said, the concern I have specifically on this topic is that we are dealing here with board compensation. We're not dealing with compensation of volunteers. This is not a PC about compensation of volunteers. And the gist of Alan's statement was to say that if the board raises its compensation, that raises the width, that widens, sorry, the gap between volunteer, uncompensated volunteers and board members. That's how I understood Adam's point in there. And I don't know whether we should focus specifically on volunteer compensation. This is just all about board compensation here. Now, of course, we can expand on this, but I'm still not sure about how to do that. And opening something about volunteer compensation with the SO and AT chairs is definitely something that I could do. Does that answer your question, Heaven?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Tijani Benjamin, next.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Olivier, it is not a question of compensation for volunteers. It is a question of recognition and consideration. And yesterday when we spoke about the statement of Alan, we spoke about that, and we said that we are not asking to compensate or to pay volunteers. We are asking for recognition, for consideration of volunteers who are working hard. So this is something that we can add to the statement, and this would be the difference between the Alan statement and the Alex statement. We will perhaps emphasize on this point at the end of the statement. But you mentioned three options. I think two and three are the same, more or less. So my inclination is for a statement of ALAC, a detailed statement of ALAC, not to support Alan's statement, but an own statement for ALAC, which is inspired from Alan's statement, since it got more or less a consensus about among the ALAC members. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Let's be clear. If ICANN offers to give me $35,000 a year in recognition of all the work I'm doing, I will accept it. I do not.
I'm really happy to know that, Alan. I was wavering.
I do not believe that is likely to happen in this particular term. And this current statement, in recognition of the various comments and people misinterpreting what I was trying to say, is the current statement does not ask for compensation.
Exactly.
It says increasing board compensation without some recognition, and I can try to read verbatim if you give me a moment, is going to it denigrates the contributions. The previous version that I had posted to the ALAC list implied but didn't quite say that, yes, we think compensation for chairs is reasonable, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about for others. I even removed that, because I wanted to take the focus away from compensation to other issues, and do what I think that Tijani is saying and other people have been saying. That is, we have to make sure that people get some tangible benefit from all the work that they put in, and we're talking about those who are putting what I called in this message Herculean efforts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the current message, and if it does, tell me where, and I'll try to correct it, focuses on compensation. I know this discussion has focused on financial compensation, but it said board and now liaison compensation, with any consideration for the contributions of others denigrates the effort. There are a host of other benefits that board members get that other volunteers and chairs would really appreciate. And I think that is was the tone. So if there is something separate, if there is something different to be said, then it is surely the right of the ALAC to say that. I'm not sure I'm the right one to draft something different. On the other hand, if what you're really saying is, yes, you support it, then a simple statement of support is cleaner because it means that the people who are evaluating it don't have to, you know, try to look at the common denominators between them and the differences. And it's a lot easier to draft the one statement than to get closure on a page. So I haven't heard anything different here that anyone wants in the statement than what I think I already put in there. I'm not trying to defend what I wrote. I wrote it on a personal behalf and didn't write it from the point of view of getting acceptance from the ALAC. But I'm not looking to add extra work with no real benefit out of it either.
Thanks very much, Alan. And come on. You have to admit, you do like to have acceptance from the ALAC as well.
Of course I would. But I wrote it knowing that I didn't think it was going to come to this. The fact that the ALAC, everyone yesterday said, yes, let's do something, it was a pleasant happening. But I didn't write this on the assumption that it would be seconded by the ALAC. I was assuming a half a dozen ALAC members to contribute something saying, yes, me too. So far, there's been nothing from anyone, so be it.
Do we have to write that again?
Do we have to write what again?
Right. Me too again.
Well, I was expecting several ALAC members said I would support it, so I was expecting one-line contributions to the public comment saying that. So far, they're not there. Maybe people are waiting to see if the ALAC does something in general.
Maybe people have changed their mind.
It's easy to say
like
something and then not get around to it. They don't like me anymore. That's tough. I'm going to cry.
Okay.
I would be happy if people want me to write a one-line statement saying the ALAC supports it. I would also be willing to redraft my statement saying we instead of I, or the ALAC instead of I, if that's what you want. Any further refinement on that, I don't think should be mine.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan, on this. And I see that there are more hands up at the moment. I don't know whether these are old hands or new hands. Evan and Tijani, Evan? No, Tijani?
Yes. I think that, Alan, you're right. But I think that another statement will be an enforcement to this effort, and I don't think it is useless. Your statement is good, but it needs more, perhaps, refinement, and the refinement will come from the comment of people about this statement. And I think this is the way we worked before, and we have to work now. So if you change we or ALAC instead of I on my own behalf, it will be good, and people will add what needs to be added, and perhaps to propose other things. We have to see what is the reaction of the others. From my my side, I would emphasize the notion of recognition for the volunteers. I will make it perhaps more visible in the statement. That's all, but I am okay with all you wrote, but perhaps others have other things to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Any other thoughts on this?
Only that there's not a lot of time left.
Okay. Well, I would say there is very little time left. We're already in the reply period, and it closes on the 12th of June. Alan, what I would suggest is that you take that statement, replace the I's with we, and put it as first draft submitted. Ariel can publicize this. We can have a 3 or 4 day comment period. In fact, no, we can have a week of at-large comments, and then we will be proceeding forward with the final version and then the vote afterwards.
Two questions.
Go ahead, Adam.
The first question is, do you want the statement to refer to mine, to make reference to it, and then state what it wants to state, or just do it blank? That's question number one. Number two, who's going to draft the refined one based on the comments? Who's going to redraft or change?
So in regards to, it's Olivia speaking, in regards to your first question, I think that referring to your statement would effectively have the ALAC statement endorsing everything that is in your statement. And it might well be that some of our colleagues might wish to amend some parts that you've put in there, either strengthening them or taking them out. So we would be precluded from pointing to your statement specifically. We could say post-refining that if it is pretty much your statement, we could then say, well, you know, this is based on Alan Greenberg's statement.
Well, okay. I guess I have a philosophical problem about saying we're going to use essentially what I have verbatim, changing the I's to we's, but then someone is going to go ahead and suggest we leave out sentence number 4 because that essentially says, you know, detracts from mine. So I, you know, starting off with the exact same words and then tweaking them, I'm not sure that's what you want to do. But
I think I see what you mean.
If that's what you want me to do, then I'll do it. But
are you saying this would induce confusion in board members' minds because they'll say, how come the statement stops in the same way and then ends differently? I can totally understand that some board members, some, might get very confused about this. So, yeah, that's a very good point. Then we would need to start something new. And someone has to hold the pen on this one quickly. So I don't know if, Alan, you'd be happy to do a slightly different version of this, or whether someone else on the call would like to hold the pen to do a slightly different version of this.
Well, there's a conflict. If we end up saying something, you know, directly opposite to what I'm saying, I have trouble being the pen holder. I mean, that's going to send very mixed messages. We post with these documents exactly who wrote it, and sends a rather mixed message. I'll be glad to repost what I said with the we's, and then someone else will have to take over if indeed there are strong changes that are recommended.
Okay. Tijani Benjamin?
Yes, Alan, there is no one who said that he has opposite ideas. So there will not be anything opposite to your statement, but there will be a refinement, and this is good. Perhaps you're right. Perhaps I would propose, even if you don't mind, I would propose that even to hold the pen for it and redraft the statement in another way so that it will not be exactly the same. And with the comments, it will be refined so that it will be the ALAC statement. That's all.
Thank you, Tijani, for the suggestion. I was going to suggest that it would be translated from Canadian to English, but of course we're dealing with two Canadians, so that's going to be hard.
Olivia, this is Evan, and Tijani, I thank you for your your trust in me. My only problem right now is I am severely swamped with non-ICANN stuff leading into the summit. And I'm happy to participate. I'm happy to work with Alan or somebody. Taking a lead may be beyond my ability right now, especially if I'm going to be taking up the issue with the public advisory board stuff and the new GTLD stuff. It's going to be very hard for me to take the lead on this.
Thanks, Evan. I noticed three people from the Antipodes who sound very far away at the moment, who are hiding on the other side of the planet, and that's Holly, Julie, and Maureen. Holly, you put your hand up. I can see the tip of it. Please, you have the floor.
Finally. Look, I'm sorry, but I really liked Alan's statement. I'm sorry I didn't get out of bed at about 2 o'clock and say I did. I have now. I don't like the idea of anybody else drafting it, and I would support Alan putting the we's for the I's. And I absolutely appreciate his position, which is if it starts to look like something that he didn't say, then we drop it, because I think that there was plenty of people who supported what he said. And if that's in essence what he says and we support it, we don't have a lot of time to start redrafting and stuff. There are, to my mind, too many other important things and to say. So I support Alan doing what he said he was going to do, which is substitute the we's for the I's, in essence say what he said. If there's a bit of tweaking, and I mean just tweaking, just possible little changes to accommodate the fact that it's all of us instead of some of us, fine. But Alan, I guess Olivier, I just don't think we need to spend a lot more time on this one, and I support Alan holding the pen that he's already had. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Holly. And so this tips the balance, and let's make it so. And therefore, Alan, if you could just cut, paste, change the I's with these, and we'll go from there. If there are significant changes, then we'll have to see at that point whether you want to remain as the drafter or whether you don't, but we can do that dynamically. And, of course, if there are changes, then it might be that you won't be agreeing to those changes, and so we're less likely to have consensus on any major changes that would go in there.
Olivia, there have been multiple times where Alan and I have worked together where he's crafted something and bounced it off me, which I think will be just fine in this instance. I'm more than happy to help in that regard, and... I don't disagree with what Alan said in the first place, so I don't think we're going to talk about anything major here.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan. So now we have all of those statements in front of us, the ICANN draft 5-year strategic plan, the FY15 operating plan and budget, the preliminary determination to grant registrar data retention waiver requests, the WHO's requirements for national law conflicts, and the ICANN, enhancing ICANN accountability. Are there any comments or questions, or would you like to discuss anything during this call? Evan Eagleridge.
Hi. Simply on the issue of the accountability issue, I need to put something into the wiki, but it's really hard for us to do anything that talks about increasing ICANN's accountability without making reference to accountability and transparency review teams that have already been doing work, have not been totally listened to, and I'm really concerned about reinventing wheels once more when we haven't even implemented the old ones. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. So Olivia speaking, perhaps that's the gist of the statement. Say, start implementing all of the HCRT1 and HCRT2 recommendations, and then we'll talk. And in fact, I see Holly is saying the same thing. Maybe we just say that. Or we say that just that. That should help you in your search for this. Okay. Any other comments on the statement? Just to let you know, the pipeline for these statements is ongoing, so Ariel and I will be following through. I think the next one that falls due is the 5 years, is it the 5-year strategic plan, or no, it is the board member compensation one. But we'll follow up by email on this. So if there are no further comments, then we can move to the next part of our call, and it's a review of the full conference call. And just to remind you, looking at the page of the ALAC conference call, first I was, as I said earlier, I was very pleased to see that there was interpretation in Russian. I felt a bit sorry for the Russian interpreter who was by themselves, for the full 2.5 hours. Great to see so many new ALSs arriving and being accepted in at large. It was I was particularly pleased that there appears to be a wish for an at-large wide discussion on the accreditation of new ALSs, because it's some of the confusion that there is. And I think that the RALOs are going to be dealing with this, and I hope, and staff, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I hope that we will be able to find some time for the RALOs to discuss this, either independently during their GAs or during the secretariat discussions, face-to-face discussions in London.
Olivier, this is Heidi.
Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, currently the GA agendas are coming in, and I don't see that item on any of them. And secondly, there will not be a face-to-face secretariat meeting during the London meeting.
Aha. Well, thanks for telling me that. So then maybe, it's Olivia speaking, maybe it's a good idea to suggest this to the RALOs. And in fact, I haven't seen a follow-up on this. I know that yesterday we discussed this quite a lot. Not all RALO leaders were on the call. It would be good for Sylvia to follow up with the RALOs and letting them know about this wish from the people who were on the call, and I think it's something that will benefit everyone.
Yes, Olivier, this is Sylvia. I will do.
Okay, thanks, Sylvia. So that was one thing, and then of course we had the creation of the Curation Working Group, and we'll know what the new name is tomorrow, or if it remains Curation Working Group. The Policy Advisory Boards we spoke about yesterday, and that's well in the hands of Evan now, and of course the hands of staff to perform the summarizing of the inputs. ALS certification, I'm glad we've got this also working out. There is one quick follow-up on that. Alan, you had to have that drafted email that needed to do the decertification. Actually, I know that we tasked you with drafting this email, but since we've already had three EMSs being decertified, you have already drafted that email, so we can just do a cut and paste and take it from there, can't we? Alan Greenberg.
In fact, no, if we follow the pattern. The other decertifications, the motion was very specific to the situation. And I looked at those, and that's why you haven't already seen the output. So at this point, my inclination is to make the motion very generic and simply point to the workspace as the rationales, instead of trying to build into the into the motion the specifics of the case. So I would like to make it into some what you just described in the future, as opposed to what we did the first times. I mean, the first times we said things like the group hasn't existed, or we were approached by the head of the ALS to say decertify us, and we tried calling the president three times and they didn't answer their phone. I would propose that we do a very generic one, pointing to the workspace, and leave it at that.
So Olivia speaking, then having the workspace itself provide the details of the circumstances.
That's correct. And if indeed they don't, we may have to tweak the workspace, but then in the future it becomes a mechanical process instead of inventing text each time.
Yes, thanks very much, Alan, and apologies. I was under the impression that we had done it already with that automatic way pointing to the workspace. So if we haven't, then I look forward to the more generic email.
You will recall that the first time around, we did it with great trepidation and wanted to cover ourselves six ways to Sunday, and we did that by tailoring the motion.
Okay, thanks very much, Alan. So, do you have an idea of when you'll have that more generic motion ready?
I will have that and some comments as to whether the workspace needs tweaking, but I don't plan to do it myself, and I'll have that done tomorrow.
Okay, thanks very much, Alan. Yeah, the workspaces themselves need to be tweaked by the respective reloads, I think. And really, some of the tweaking might be needed in the discussions that then take place. It's funny how one tries to launch a discussion on the list, on the mailing list, regarding a topic, and no one takes any interest in it. And then when the vote actually comes up, suddenly people wake up and start reading the input and say, well, I'm not sure I want to vote for this because I don't see enough evidence here. So if there is a request from ALAC members for more evidence, what we will probably have to do will be to suspend the vote on a specific ALS decertification process and ask the RALO to provide further input than what they've provided so far. And unfortunately, neither you nor I can predict the response from our ALS, from our RALO, sorry, from our ALAC members. They might ask any type of question, but certainly the ones that we've got listed so far all have a reason for being on the decertification list. So, Alan, your hand is still up?
Only because I didn't drop it.
Ah, okay. Thank you. So if we can have that, in the next few days, the moment staff has this, send it over to the ALAC list, see if we get feedback from ALAC members, and of course explain, and I will fully support you that it's better to have something a bit more generic, because otherwise we're not going to have Alan Greenberg writing motions forever for decertifying ALSs. We need something that's going to be more generic for this. And then staff can start launching the process. We've got the list of the seconders already, and I think that if your motion is in line with what was said in the discussion yesterday, the seconders will stand as such. And then launch the vote on each one of these. I'd like that vote and the whole process to be finished by London. So there's only 3 weeks left until we're in London. That would be a good way forward. And I'm glad to have noticed, actually, that in one of the ALSs, the Costa Rican ALS, this process has actually, due to the due diligence of the chair of that RALO, has actually come back and said, hang on, we're about to be delisted, but delisted from what? And we're actually interested in taking part. So that could have brought back an ALS into being active. That's a good point forward. Okay, and next we have the Atlas to update. I know that we flew at a great speed through the whole update. Do we have any updates that we would like to make here on the Atlas 2, is there anything that you thought we hadn't touched on yesterday that you need to share with regards to Atlas 2? And I was hoping, by the way, to have, I was thinking, well, maybe should we have Eduardo on the call today? But then we had so many other things also on the call, so maybe it's just, I know that Tijani is fully into Atlas 2, and Evan too, and Dave of course, and so we're all involved in this. Is there anything else that we need to discuss on the Atlas 2 update? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so I gather that's it for the review of the ALAC call. Any comments or any other thoughts on the ALAC call? Maureen Hilliard, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. Maureen, for the record. I just wanted to raise the Atlas 2 Mentors program. We're not quite sure whether we as RALOs are supposed to put names down, but we understand that there is that the Mentors working group was actually in Fatima, was going to put the names in there for quite soon. but it hasn't happened yet, and we'd really like to make contact. Because I'm assuming that the mentors are going to get mentees, ALS mentees, from across the region. We're not quite sure about what their thinking is with regards to that group. That was the only concern we had from AP Rilo.
Okay, thank you very much, Maureen. So just as a quick recap, we've got these two things. We've got the mentors, the three mentors of the overall mentorship program, which works with the fellowship program. And we've just had, before this call, we had a call, a number of us had a call with the mentees, the three mentees that include, was it Mercy and Anthony and, the names just evade me now because I'm thinking of something else.
Ganella,
that's it, and Ganella. And so those three are mentees, but I guess that they'll start becoming mentors very quickly as they've been through one ICANN meeting. Now, the APTAS 2 mentorship program is the one, as you said, that's run by Fatima Candonero. I've asked a question of Fatima yesterday I asked a question. She has answered me today that she's been in discussion with Sylvia Vivanco about this. And so I wondered, and it's a good point that you raised this, Maureen, actually. I wondered, Sylvia, would you be able to share with us your discussions with Fatima Cambronero? Because Fatima is currently at the Stockholm IGF, and then she is also involved in the MAG, the IGF MAG afterwards. So she was unable to spend any significant amount of time this week working on this. But apparently she's been working with you, and I have
yes.
a few emails which are in Spanish and which I need to translate before I understand them. Perhaps you could explain things without me needing to read those emails in Spanish.
Oh, yes, of course, Olivier. This is Silvia. Yes, Fatima contacted me a few days ago to request our assistance because she's first in Paris and then in Stockholm working, attending conferences. So I have been working with her to put together an email for mentors, mentees, to find new people to help, new mentors, especially from the Naralo region. That she still needed some people to help out, and some other tasks. So I have been helping her to put together emails, reminders, and other tasks related to this. So she's in contact with me almost every day through Skype.
Okay, where are we now, though? Because the list which we have at the moment on the wiki is empty. And, we're 3 weeks away. There is a concern, I guess, and a genuine wish for people to be involved in this. But, you know, where are we? What's the next step? What needs to be done? Because with Fatima being away for the week, we need to continue moving forward. So it doesn't rest on Fatima. I guess it rests on the whole working group. What's the next step of the working group?
Right. Okay. Well, one of the concerns that Fatima had is that she mentioned that there is not much support, perhaps, from other members. She shared that with me. But let's see if I can just pull out the emails that I have been exchanging with her.
Sylvia, while you're doing that, I'm just wondering if perhaps you could suggest that she does hold a call. Because I don't think there's been one call of the at-large mentoring program yet, and I think that's why the confusion is coming about.
Yes, okay. So the next step will be that she will ask all mentors and mentees to review the mentorship guidelines to identify their responsibilities and start working from now until London. Regarding the teleconference, yes, I can suggest that, Heidi, for sure, because I think all the instructions that she's planning to send are in writing. So it would be good to have a real-life conversation.
And so,
that's the next step, that she will send an email reminding everyone of what they need to do, and then they will meet in London.
Okay.
That was the plan that she had.
This is Heidi, for the record. I'm just wondering if the ALT might wish to make an action item, perhaps suggesting that there's a call to coordinate this program. It's up to you, Sylvia, or the ALT to make that. But
okay, another thing that she's coordinating with Carlos Reyes on the certificates, then the timing of the certificates, the agenda of the meetings of the 13 and 14, so all of that, all of those activities, she's coordinating with me. The agendas, the certificates, and then the next step, which would be if we recommend a conference call, it would be a conference call. Otherwise, they just need to read the instructions and be prepared to work in London.
Okay, so Sylvia, it's Olivia speaking. So first, I'll let Alan Greenberg speak, and then come back to me. Alan, you have the floor.
Can we have some clarity as to who's going to do the pairings of mentor-mentee, and when is this going to be done?
Okay. This is Sylvia. I have a document here which Fatima sent to me, which the pairing of mentors and mentees, I believe she has done it. She has done the pairing of people. It looks like it.
Okay, because I think it's really important to get that out before London. So the mentors can start making contact with their mentees or whatever.
Yeah, that's one of the documents that she sent me, and she's planning to send an email probably between today and tomorrow.
Okay.
Because she Skyped me today on this one, on this activity, of
thank
the pairing
you.
Of mentors and mentees.
Okay, thank you, everyone. It's Olivia speaking. So Fatima has shared those emails with me, and so the I can let you know that I'm not quite sure what she meant by agenda per your request. Is that the agenda of the next call that she wants to have? If that's the case, then we need to have that call started.
No, it's okay. It's the agenda of the meeting.
This is Heidi, for the record. It's the orientation meeting on Saturday in London.
Correct.
Okay, well, but you know, we're putting the carriage before the horses here. We need to have a call before that. So, as you said, Heidi, as you suggested, let's have an action item, and I'm really sorry to be doing some top-down thing here, but I'm concerned that this is a significant part of at-large, of the Atlas too, and at the moment it's kind of stalling or a little bit aimless and wandering about and so on. We need to tighten this nut that we can tighten and stage a call for the mentoring program working group and get them to basically make up the two main things, which I think is the pairing of the mentors and mentees and the, you know, and saying, well, suggesting on the agenda and basically sticking to the agenda. I can see here that she's done the pairing of the Naralo mentor-mentees. But that's just one, and I've got the list here in front of me, but that's just one thing. And already there are 5, 6, 7 groups. And it seems to be an incomplete list as far as I'm concerned when I look at it. So I don't know, where is she going to be dealing with a pairing of everyone in every single RALO? I mean, that doesn't sound like a working group thing. This needs to be done by the working group.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, aside for everything else, I mean, it's nice for you to have that list, but some of us also have other commitments outside of Atlas at the meeting. And, you know, I'd like to at least look at who it is I'm mentoring and how many there are before it's made
You've
public.
You've got three. You've got three people, Alan.
I thank you very much for telling me that. And someday someone should tell me who they are. Sorry, I'm not being facetious.
If you compensate me enough, I will. But at the moment, I'm not.
Thank you very much. We can have a private call on that afterwards. I've already set what my price was, so you can decide what yours is. All I'm saying is, you know, someone has to do it, but it has to be vetted by the mentors. If you pick someone who has a feud with me as that I'm mentoring, it's not going to work optimally, and or whatever. So I'm just saying, time's running out. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alan. I'm really not sure what to do with this one. I guess we have to wait for for this to move forward with Fatima. In the meantime, I would ask for staff. Let's get this forward. Send a doodle out to the mentoring group, working group, and get them to say when it would be best for them to have a call, and let's have them a call early next week. We need to force the issue on this one.
Okay.
Olivier?
Any other thoughts? Yeah, Tijani?
Yes. If we advise them to make a call, we have to tell them why. So a call to fix or to complete the peering between mentors and mentees.
Correct.
And to finalize the agenda for the orientation session.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Tijani, thanks for this. Yeah, these will be the two topics. And I think that the majority of the time on that call will be made by looking at the full list of the people and the suggestions that Fatima makes as to who is going to be paired with who, and the mentors to provide feedback and basically say, okay, I'm okay with these three people or not or whatever. That might mean that part of the call will have to be done in camera, in case because we are dealing with people here. But that's well understood, and I would suggest that mentors or whoever is on that call, and I probably will be on that call as well, will need to mention that this is in camera if we're starting to say, oh, sorry, I can't mentor that person. He's an idiot. I'll give it to someone else. So, excellent. Who is then the committee or the mentors? No, the committee and the mentors. I think that it would be good for the mentors and the committee to meet.
Yeah, it's one of these
coordination things. Alan, please, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for speaking up without my hand up, but we've had 30 or I don't know how many other people volunteer to be mentors. We asked for volunteers. Are we accepting them? Are we using them? At this point, we don't know who the mentors are.
Nope. I agree with you.
I don't. Maybe somebody knows. But all sorts of people put up their hand, and it's not clear whether we're using them, how they're, you know. It's just a little bit confusing for me. Maybe I haven't focused on the details enough.
Alan, there is a wiki page where you have all the mentors.
I understand that, but it's not clear that we're using all of those people who volunteered.
They will. The table just needs to be filled, basically, and I don't know why the Naralo part of it is not filled, but yeah, the table needs to be filled. The mentors are primarily the ALAC members and also a few additional volunteers from the different regions. But this is work that needs to be done quickly. Because the other thing I was hoping is that this mentoring, the mentors would immediately start contacting the mentees before we arrive in London, and that they would be able to help them and point them, sharing the load, you know, point them over to the webinars for those who have not been in the webinars and already getting to know them. So when the mentees arrive in London, they already know who their mentor is, and they've already had emails going back and forth and so on. I don't know. This is a little bit late, but we need to push forward on that. Okay, let's get moving then. Anything else on this topic? No? Okay, so let's go back to our leadership team call, and I noticed it is at the half past 21:30 UTC, actually, so we are reaching the end of this call, but we still have a few more things to discuss. The FAB public comment next steps, that's dealt with already, I think. But prior to that, we still have some discussions on the forthcoming meetings, and we've got questions, which are the At-Large London ICANN Board Questions Workspace, the At-Large London Global Stakeholder Engagement Questions Workspace, and the ICANN London Meeting PowerPoint Template Workspace. Well, the PowerPoint template is just, is not a question, I guess. The PowerPoint is actually, I don't know how that fell into this. Someone thinks
Sorry.
It's a question. I think it's just a PowerPoint. So
should have been public meetings.
Okay. So, all right. So the question is as follows. Yeah, we've got the board questions, the stakeholder engagement. Board questions, I know that we discussed some of it last time, but the page is still desperately blank at the moment, and I wondered whether we could spend 5 minutes to think about this. I know that Evan had made some suggestions, and I'll ask on Evan to expand again, please. So, Evan Leibovitz, you have the floor.
Thanks a lot, Olivier. And so I just coincidentally had my hand up. My point is that given the nature of this special meeting, given the nature of the fact that we're going to have all the ALSs there, given the fact that we are going to have the attention of the board, I want the board to do most of the talking. I want it to do most of the questioning. This is not, I think we need to do a slightly different meeting. This is not something where, you know, we have the formal, well, we've come up with these questions and they come up with those questions. I want the board to actually put forth questions that it has of us. I want it to, as it has now this forum of all the ALSs there, I would like to do things a little differently. The big topics are already well known. The board has already done its standard stuff of, you know, IANA transition, new GTLDs, blah, blah, blah. This is all going to be said elsewhere. I would like the board to take advantage of the fact that it has all these ALSs in the room, that it has this summit there. And I would like the board to give us its questions. I would like the board to have a look at the way things have progressed since the first summit and going back even further since the creation of the RALO system and the creation of At Large. I would like to get some comments from the board on this and from various board members, including those that have been around long enough to see the history. So that's my comment on this. I would like this, since it's not an ordinary ICANN meeting for At Large, I don't think it should be an ordinary board ALAC discussion time. We will have our usual, I'm hoping we will have our usual moments on the Friday with either Steve or somebody else to talk informally about some of the hot issues. But for the meeting that is between At Large and the board, I really would like it to take a different direction, especially given that I did not like the way things went at the last meeting, and I want to avoid something like that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I don't think it's a secret that I'm somewhat have a bad taste in my mouth with regard to these meetings. I think they have been singularly unproductive, and if anything, led to misunderstandings instead of better understanding. That being said, the only issue that I can think to bring up as an issue with the board is, in fact, the compensation one, and not focusing on the board compensation, but focusing on acknowledging and rewarding and whatever, you know, some of the more hardworking volunteers in our community. That, I think, is worthy of some discussion. I'm sure we'll get lectured on by someone regardless, but nevertheless. I do not know how productive what Evan is suggesting is going to be. You know, certainly it would have to be orchestrated well ahead of time, not just asking board members to ad-lib what they want from At Large. In the past, the board said they don't want to use this as their platform. So I don't even know to what extent this would be acceptable to them. Or, let me be blunt, just like we didn't need comments at the meetings from board members telling us that maybe we should have a teleconference in between ICANN meetings, I'm not sure how well what might be uninformed comments would be in front of all the ALS. That's a rather pessimistic view of the world, I'm sorry.
That's my job, Alan.
Yeah, well, I just took it over.
Thanks very much, Alan. And it sounds like, Evan, you're out of a job. Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I think that the compensation issue is... controversial subject if we raise it with the board members, because you raise a point that touch their pocket. So it is something that will not be easy to handle, especially we have 160 ALSs present in the room. So my inclination is to avoid such subjects. The idea of Evan is not bad, it's good, but is it enough for a meeting with the board? This is my concern. I think that, yes, they can talk about that, but it will be... I would like to perhaps to push toward showing the involvement or the progress done by the at-large during this time, since the creation of the at-large till the election of the first board member from at-large till now, and perhaps showing that we need perhaps more representation in the board.
Yes, thank you very much, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. And just commenting on the board compensation, something which you might not be aware of. There has been some discussion behind, in more private surroundings, you know, sort of a meeting, you know, speaking with Steve Crocker and various board members in private. You might not be aware that not all board members actually even accept compensation from the board. In fact, some board members are paid a salary in their real-world job outside of ICANN, which is way higher than the 30,000 which is proposed of them. And so some board members have actually renegated on the compensation and have said they're going to do this work pro bono, whilst other board members have relied on the so-called salary that's been provided in order to be able to sustain themselves. Bringing this topic up in a meeting of the ALAC with the board is likely to to raise a number of points which might, on the one hand, not put the at-large community in a good light, but on the other hand, might embarrass some board members vis-a-vis other board members. And I don't think it's a good idea to discuss this topic publicly in front of 160 at-large peers. That's just my personal point of view, and take it as a strong view that I have on this. Evan Leibovich and then Alan Greenberg. Evan?
Thanks, Olivier. I think I would tend to agree with you with using the topic. Again, the time that we're going to have with the board and the ALSs is going to be very, very valuable. I would like to make the best use of it as possible. There's policy issues to deal with. There's all sorts of, you know, things that we need to get out of this. In fact, the board compensation thing, I would personally, I believe, to be a relatively small implementation issue. That's part of a larger issue of how ICANN treats its volunteer community. And frankly, to have all of that at a meeting like that may come across as a bit self-serving on both parts. That is, at large talking on its behalf and the board talking on its. And so I would tend to agree with your point of view on that, Olivier. Having said that, I want to go back to what Alan was saying with his somewhat pessimistic view of what I was suggesting. And frankly, I don't mind having the role of crank in chief taken over by someone else. But having said that, I think we need to, I'd like to sort of take my original idea and perhaps nuance it a bit and tailor it a bit and make it a little bit more useful in the sense that Alan was talking about. That is, tell the board ahead of time, this is what we're expecting of you. And frankly, maybe it's about time that the board started giving us some pointed questions, some that, you know, that most of the questioning can go from the board to ALAC, and that we can basically do the kind of education that may prevent the kind of comments that we heard before that sort of belie that the board isn't even aware of what ALAC does. Maybe it should be asking some of the questions, and maybe some of the questions, the answers we can come up with them, are going to help educate everyone. So I still think the idea of having most of the questions go in the opposite from the usual direction, that being the board to us, is a good idea, but I'm absolutely amenable to the idea of, number one, making sure that the board is aware and prepares in advance so this is not all off the cuff, and at the same time coming up with other possible ways to make this better. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Evan. It's worth noting, it's Olivia speaking, it's worth noting that in each instance of preparing for this meeting, this face-to-face meeting, the ALAC has been asked to supply questions to the board, and at the same time, the board has been asked to supply questions to the ALAC. The board, until the more recent meeting, the board always had a couple of questions that it wanted to ask of the ALAC. If you recall in past cases when we had a successful meeting with the board, they had questions which they wanted to ask us. In the last meeting, and perhaps even the one previous to the last meeting, they appeared not to have any questions for us. And that's certainly a concern. And whilst I understand your point of view of saying, well, it's time the board asks questions and does investigates what they would like to know, what is unclear to them about the ALAC and what and about at-large and the at-large community, you should be prepared of having, of receiving silly questions such as the one that Alan mentioned earlier, which is, you know, does the ALAC have calls between ICANN meetings and this sort of stuff? That would make the board look, or the board member asking that question particularly silly, and that would not be that productive for us. I don't have an exact answer for you on this one. I'll ask Alan, and then I've got another suggestion maybe on this that we could think about. Alan Greenberg.
Okay. First of all, on the compensation issue, if it were to be been brought up, it wouldn't be a discussion of board compensation. But in light of the board compensation, the issue of volunteer benefits or whatever has been brought up, and that's the tone that I would suggest. You know, so the statement that I submitted starts off saying, I support board compensation. I think the levels talking about are reasonable. And by the way, the current level is currently $35,000 or $40,000 for director, and $75,000 for the chair, not $25,000. And currently, the only director who does not accept that money is Bruce Tonkin. Every other board member accepts it, at least according to the board, to the ICANN website. If we are to have the board ask questions of us, then I believe, again, like they have wanted in the reverse, we need to have those ahead of time so we can orchestrate how they get answered. Otherwise, we'll just have, you know, one person doing all the talking and other people perhaps disagreeing with them. The board has, there were no questions this last time or two because the board explicitly said, we're not here to ask questions, we're here to hear what you think. So it's not being an accident that they haven't had questions, it was deliberate policy. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. In light of the fact that the board has this ability to answer questions that we don't ask and not answer the questions that we ask, I would be very concerned about asking a question with regards to the treatment of volunteers in light of the board compensation.
I started off by saying
they will then launch into a board compensation thing, and they will start telling us how they don't. Yeah, go ahead.
I accepted the decision not to bring that one up. I was just clarifying what I had suggested, but it's dead. Let's not spend time talking about it.
Now, I was going to suggest the following. We've got five thematic working groups. The future of multi-stakeholderism, the globalization of ICANN, the global internet, the user perspective, ICANN transparency and accountability, and at-large community engagement in ICANN. I wondered whether we could ask the board about their view on these themes. And because this really is that is something that is an Atlas II activity, and our working groups are core to the at-large summit. So having the point of view from the board on this before the working groups drafting their final statement on these things might be interesting, because it might well be that our ELSs will raise some questions as to what the board thinks when they discuss these topics on Saturday and on Sunday. Any thoughts on that?
Tijani?
I put my thoughts in the chat.
Yes, Tijani. Okay, thanks. Tijani, go ahead.
Olivier, for the theme of ICANN accountability, you will ask the board about their point of view, but they were talking about that since now 3 months. So what they can say more than they said before? I am afraid it will be, I don't know, if we have a specific theme, but all those themes are generic, are for the whole ICANN, and I don't know. That's all.
Thank you, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. Heidi has suggested some text. What are the views of the board on the topics of the five thematic groups of the Atlas II? I'm left wanting more than that. I think that doesn't go deeply enough into asking specific questions on this. Maybe we could concentrate on one or the other thematic groups. The future of multi-stakeholderism is a very open thing, and I'm not sure that we really are interested in the ICANN view on this, or the board's board members' point of view. The globalization of ICANN is obviously a hot topic. The global internet, the user perspective, ICANN transparency and accountability, that's another topic which is being treated elsewhere. But we've got here the global, and I'm just, by the way, just for the record and for your thought, I'm reading through these and thinking as I go along, a bit brainstorming at the moment, so tell me if I'm completely off the tracks. So what about the global internet, the user perspective? What do they think this user perspective is in the global internet and specifically in ICANN? What is the user's place in ICANN? And then at-large community engagement in ICANN, what does the board recommend for at-large community engagement in ICANN? And that somehow works with what Evan was mentioning earlier in finding, you know, let the board basically ask what questions they would want to know about at-large community engagement.
Olivier, sorry, could you repeat that then?
Well, I'm putting on the table at the moment, Heidi, for everyone to discuss. So prior to repeating this, except if nobody heard me, but...
No, we heard you.
So we note here, Heidi says TG1 and TG3 are the clear favorites, but I just mentioned TG1 and TG... Well, the future of multi-stakeholderism, I don't think we've got any interest in discussing this with the board. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we have.
No.
Tijani Benjamin.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. I think that you raised a good point. Perhaps we can ask the board about their views about the contribution of the at-large community in the globalization effort or in the globalization operation that is taking place now of ICANN in general and of ICANN and IANA in particular. So since we know that they think we don't have a lot of role in this operation, I think that it is good to raise the point so that they give us their point of view explicitly.
Thanks very much, Tijani. The only concern I have with the topic of the globalization of ICANN is that at the moment it says yet undefined, and we've heard that the IANA transition is one thing on the one hand, and the accountability and transparency is something which is also being folded into this, and so it's a bit of a mess at the moment.
Yes, when I speak about globalization, I am speaking about the sum of the IANA transition and the accountability of ICANN. This is at the end, this is the globalization effort. This is the whole globalization operation. And if you want to phrase it in another way, it's good, but try to make ICANN people, board people, to tell us clearly how do they think the at-large community can contribute in this operation.
Yeah, thanks, Tijani. What do others think about this? I note people saying, I see Alan saying that we'll give them enough rope to hang themselves or to hang us. Not sure. That's more on the involvement of users and at-large in ICANN. Okay.
Okay.
What lessons can ICANN learn? Now, here is one thought from Evan. Evan, you may speak, please.
Simply that, you know, maybe what we have to do is perhaps just go back to the original model and here's some questions for them and so on. And if we're going to do that, and this is the one that I come up with, and that is asking what lessons ICANN can learn from the NetMundial meeting, in which it was a big participant. NetMundial had some very interesting outcomes, but even more interesting were the processes by which it did, which was a very different approach to multi-stakeholderism from the traditional one used by ICANN. So the way that business, governments, civil society, and so on participated in NetMundial is a very different model from ICANN, and I'm wondering if there's any lessons that ICANN can learn from this, and if they're even thinking about it in terms of different ways to engage governments, different ways to head off multilateralism and that kind of thing. So that was just, you know, if this brainstorming doesn't work out and we're still back to having to give them questions, this was my suggestion for one. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks very much, Evan. That's a good point. Any other thoughts on this?
So, Olivia, this is Heidi. What about Evan's suggestion? Or is that one? Should we use that one?
Well, I'm just wondering at the moment and reading it, and it looks like, does anyone have any objection on this one? Evan, I think I like that. I mean, that's definitely, that focuses a lot more of what we're doing in our thematic groups. That's a specific topical question on this, and perhaps that could be one possible question. I think that's a good one.
It's one that could go into a broader discussion, but it's sufficiently specific so that it's not totally mushy, that can be answered with some kind of, you know, canned answer that they give to everyone.
Definitely. So, okay, unless anybody objects to this, I think we can have this question. I see Tijani Benjema having put his hand up. Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Tijani speaking. I am not objecting, but I'd like to say that we don't have to tie ourselves and speaking about the process of multi-stakeholder and the Net Mondial versus the one in ICANN. Because in Net Mondial, it is very different because it wasn't about policy development. It was about discussion. It was more a forum, more a discussion forum. So the multi-stakeholder model used there, it is not the same. We are not doing the same things. So it is normal that it is not the same. So if we tie ourselves in this issue of process, perhaps we will be mistaken. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Tijani. And I think you are already coming into the discussion of what discussion could take place when we meet with the board. Because that's a very valid point that you've made, and it's these are two different models. I'm starting to like this very much. I think we can move forward with this one because I can certainly see there would be much discussion on this. And, of course, it's a hot topic at ICANN at the moment with the testing out of the Thursday sessions, where we're going to be seeing this testing of things, topical-based discussions. And I hear that they want to also have some local hubs around the world, et cetera. And one of the discussions I've recently had with David Olive was expressing my concerns about the fact that we're dealing with this public forum type thing, which is more discussing issues openly like that, and we're doing away with this deep working groups, the people that actually draft documents. We're not giving enough support to those people who draft the documents and seem to be just skimming issues and things and making public declarations at a microphone and putting more emphasis on that. So certainly that comes really into the same sort of question that Evan has raised on this. Heidi, you wanted to say something.
Yes, I have. This is Heidi for the record. I have a suggestion and a question. The suggestion is, rather than what lessons can ICANN learn? Did you want that to be what lessons can has the ICANN board? Because I mean, the at-large community is part of ICANN. And then the question is, what in the second sentence, both in the results as well as the process, one that applied, what does one refer to?
Okay, the process.
The process, yes.
Okay.
And Heidi, no, I disagree. I want to keep it open to ICANN because ICANN is not the board. ICANN does not equal the board. It equals the community. And if this is a matter of the board saying we need to engage the community, there's a different way to look at things, or whatever direction this goes in, this is a question to the ICANN board, suggesting that it may have a leadership role to play in because ICANN board members attended, a greater proportion of the ICANN board attended Net Mondial than a proportion of at-large or the proportion of the business community, et cetera, et cetera. So the board was there. The board was there. It was participating. It was learning. And so this is not a question just of the ICANN board. This is a question of have any lessons been learned that can be used by ICANN?
Okay, I just wanted to make clear. This is Heidi. I just wanted to make clear that was the intent. So I'm just putting this slightly different.
What lessons can ICANN learn from the Net Mondial meeting, both in the results as well as the process, one that applied a very different model to NSM?
So it's just making it one sentence.
Correct.
What a big change, Heidi. I'm not sure I can agree with that.
I like that comma.
I
like that comma.
I like having a question mark there, and I'm not sure I can agree with this, but okay, in the interest of time, I'll agree with it. Tijani, you have the floor.
No, it is Nolan. Excuse me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, that's taken us half an hour to come up with one question. So if you know, and we're now into the 2 hour mark for this call, I think this is a good one. The other one, Evan, I understand you'd like the board to say more or to ask questions to us. I'll tell you one thing that we could do, because we need, I think, two topics for a meeting with the board is plenty, rather than shifting through a number of sterile topics. This one should be, I think, a good topic, because we would be able to not only hear from the board on this and the board members on this, but also certainly make the point that Tijani has made earlier with regard to the difference, in way things work, to the fact that the working group model that we have at ICANN is something which is better suited in the long term and in making policy, this sort of stuff. So that definitely is one thing. The second second topic I think we might wish to do then is to think of a way to bring the board to say, look, you have 160 at-large structures in front of you here. What question would you like to ask those 160 at-large structures? And we could prepare, and that could be just a small thing, prepare an answer for you during, you know, on that, during our meeting with the board. It's not every day that the board has those 160 at-large structures that are going to be sitting in front of them. And it's not every day that we'll be able to spend maybe 10 minutes brainstorming with at-large structures. And perhaps we can ask each one of the little working groups to brainstorm for 10 minutes to bring their input into the answer of at-large to the board when we meet them on Tuesday. I see agreement from Evan. Tijani, is this still an old hand or a new one?
Yes, I cannot lower my hand.
Ah, okay. All right. Heidi, you have your hand up. And you might be muted.
I am indeed. Thank you. This is Heidi for the record. Could you please repeat that last open-ended question?
Yes, thank you, Heidi. It's Olivier speaking. The last open-ended question was, how should we word this? Having 160 at-large structures in front of you, what question would you like to ask at-large structures?
About what in particular?
About anything.
About what questions, then?
Yeah, what questions would you like to ask at-large structures? And they should give us their questions, then we can get the at-large structures to work on them for 10 minutes in their thematic groups, so they'll be in smaller little groups, come up with a few lines of what they would think the answer is, and then we can have those answers presented and have a little dialogue taking place in the meeting with the board on this.
Okay, so this is Heidi. So just to clarify, you would like the board to ask them the questions prior to the actual meeting on Tuesday?
Oh, yes. Can prepare for them.
Okay.
We would need that now. How does that sound with everyone?
Okay.
Good.
Okay, yeah. Clear green tick from Evan. Clear grunts from everyone else on the call. So I take this as a yes. Fair enough. Well, we've gone through this. Anything else that we need to look at now? I think we're all getting a bit tired on this one. The global stakeholder engagement questions. I think that one big question that we had for Sally Costerton was the concept of crowdsourcing. We made a very strong statement regarding this crowdsourcing, and we've actually responded to this stakeholder engagement panel, which had been formed, and yet the concept of crowdsourcing still came out. And I think it would be important to be discussing this with Sally. and to make the difference, and really explain the difference between the having a website where everybody and anybody can comment on anything happening at ICANN, and having a working group that is deep in the GNSO that basically prepares a document that will end up as being policy that will affect 2.6 billion internet users worldwide. I have a concern there is a lack of understanding of this, still a lack of understanding of this at a certain level. And this is why crowdsourcing comes out, and this is why suddenly there is this enormous excitement about the Net Mondial meeting and the format of the Net Mondial meeting, and yet I'm not sure that this is a sustainable long-term solution. And here was a question from Evan Leibovich, which I believe will be shouted by Evan in the room since it's in uppercase. But maybe we will refrain from this, and I'm sure we can work this one out and fix this one before the summit takes place.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm really, really, really upset about this. The ICANN webpage is talking about the fellowship round for LA, and it doesn't have space for the bloody summit. I'm sorry.
Evan, sorry, just so you know that it is in process, and just stay tuned. It is. There's going to be a blog post by Olivier with the welcome message. It's just, it's literally being prepared right now.
Yeah, actually, the blog post has just showed up. It's now there on the page. But this should be in the headline at the top. I'm sorry, Heidi. This really, this
to
me just...
That's where I thought it was going to be. Sorry, let me just take a look. That's where I thought it was going to be.
It's under blog posts. It's on. It's in the middle of the right-hand column.
Okay, let me just take a look at that. Yeah, I'm going to try to get it up out there on the headline.
Okay,
not particularly this, but yeah, definitely there should be something up there. I agree.
But
can you just replace the whole front page with a big picture of me?
That's what I want. That's what I wanted.
Heidi, I got to tell you, and this is the reason why I would frame it as a question to Sally. This shouldn't have to be our initiative. This is something that ICANN, as an organization, has spent a lot of money, a lot of person hours on, a lot of effort. It's clearly gone through the entire ranks of the organization to get approval to have this happen. And it really, I'm really upset that you have to drive that within your superiors to actually make this happen, why it wasn't considered to be something that should just organically happen. I think I'm more disappointed at that than I am at these remedial steps that are being taken. I mean, yeah, it's going to be there, and yes, it's going to happen. I guess I'm really disappointed, as a matter of corporate culture, that we actually have to remind ICANN that it should be doing this, as opposed. And even so, it's in the form of a blog post. This is something that the organization should be shouting to the world. This is an outreach issue. This is a global engagement issue. This isn't something from at large yelling from the bottom, hey, look at us. This is something that ICANN should be seeing as a source of pride. And I guess I'm really upset that Sally and the upper and the senior staff haven't taken this as their own initiative. And to me, it says more about the upper staff than it does about us. And I guess I'm just, you know, my yelling, I think, is just an expression of that frustration more than anything. Thanks.
Yeah, I think we can make it happen. I don't know if it will be an issue by the time we're all in London.
Okay, thanks very much for this, and thank you for this, Evan. So I think we've got our two topics. And for the record, the second topic is not asking about the ICANN website, but it was to do with the global stakeholder engagement and the question of crowdsourcing versus the question of working groups. I think that will definitely be a topic that we will want to discuss with Sally. Do you need any further information on this, Heidi, or... Are you...
No, this is Heidi for the record. Just, no, not for the time being. Sally normally brings her entire team there, so maybe it'll be good to listen to Jean-Jacques a little bit. as he's new, and he, you know, the summit, or the well, the summit in ICANN 50s in London, that's his territory. Maybe a little bit about what the plans are for the IGF from Nigel. He's in his new position. So I think it'll be a good chance to just let them have an open discussion as well, since it's normally is a very tight discussion, limited on time, and this time we're going to have a full hour. So I think it'll be good to have some open discussion with everyone.
Okay, excellent. Thanks very much. So we're now 2 hours and 10 minutes into this call, because I realize we're all getting a bit tired and things. So. I see another last question. What is the future of OneNet? That's a good point also. Maybe we could ask.
Okay, I think, this is Heidi, I'm happy to put that in there. I think Teresa's leading that, but that team should be able to answer that as well.
Is Teresa going to be meeting with us or not?
No, not unless you want her to, but no.
Okay, thanks. No, well, I don't think we have enough time for all.
Well, this is Heidi. The only time, as we discussed earlier today, Olivier, was that hot topic on accountability and transparency, because she's leading that. And you had said that you didn't want outside speakers to come to that.
Yeah. I mean, we have a hot topic on accountability and transparency that I thought we would be discussing with each other. And the concern I have with having someone coming from staff or from the board to talk to us about accountability and transparency is that we're going to spend, it's only a half an hour hot topic, and we're going to spend 20 minutes with a presentation or with the point of view of what is ICANN doing about accountability and transparency, and then we won't have enough time to discuss the matter with ourselves. There's going to be plenty of time to interact with the board, interact with staff, interact with everyone in the public day on accountability and transparency on the Thursday. I wanted to use the full half an hour where we meet with each other face to face to design a response or a line that we're going to hold regarding this topic. And so therefore not need to meet with anyone from outside. Okay, I see no one else put their hand up apart from Tejani, who's got now both his hand up, stuck up in the air, and a green tick also stuck, which is tough. David Antilik Singh, you have the floor, and then we'll probably close the call after that.
Okay, thank you. This is David Antilak Singh speaking. I just want to raise something under any other business regarding the COP-RT meeting. I think we should have the meet call sometime next week. I know Tejani has said that he will be unavailable until June 7th. However, I think I'm just looking at the number of changes and also looking at if you want to get events filed up for COP in July. I'm thinking that I don't think it could wait beyond June 7th, but I just wanted to throw this out to you, if you have any thoughts or comments on that.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave. Thank you for bringing this up. Very good point indeed. And for those of you who are not aware, so the COP has been extended, but with some significant changes and amendments, so that the team would need to meet up if it was going to start processing crop requests for July. And as you know, it takes 8 weeks, I think, to process requests from A to Z. So Tejani, it's good you're on the call. I mean, would you mind if we had actually that call, and perhaps you can listen to the recording of the call upon your return from your travels? Because I think a lot of the discussions will take place in explaining what will happen. Okay, that's appreciated.
Olivier.
And okay, thanks, Tejani.
Sure.
Okay.
But Olivier, I would like to say that there is not a lot of change. There is a change of the procedure, perhaps of the documents or of the wiki, but there is not a big change in the process and the conditions also. Only the visa will be paid, and that's all. And perhaps sometimes you can have an event not exactly in your region. This is to be discussed afterwards. So this is the only change in the program.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much, Tijani. Dave, your hand is up. And you might be muted.
You're right, thank you. This is Dave speaking. I was muted. The other question, of course, is do we also, does the CORP-RT have to, you know, ask again whether members wish to stand on for this next for the FY15 or anything like that? I mean, in terms of its now being for FY15.
Sorry, you sounded very very mumbled with the last few words you said. Didn't quite hear.
Okay. I'm sorry. So the question is, do I have to go into asking members whether they wish to continue to stand in for the CORP-RT?
For another year? Yes, I would say yes. Absolutely, you would need to ask if they wish to continue. The other thing I would ask of you is to find out those members who might have not done anything at all during that year, and perhaps we could suggest a relo of the member that has done nothing to suggest another member to replace that person. Although I think, just from memory, that all of the members of the CORP-RT were active. But maybe they weren't. I don't know. Maybe I haven't checked that correctly. Let's have a quick go through the list, and then I'm really concerned about the time at the moment ticking. Evan Libovich and then Tijani Benjela. Evan?
Just a quick question about the timing. One of the problems with the timing of the previous year's CORP thing was that things that happened in January and February could not be done because of the timing of when things were approved. Is the fact that things are now approved this early mean that we've got enough lead time to be able to do things in early 2015?
Correct, yes, absolutely. Yes. And the reason why we're pushing for a call to take place right away is for the ability to process requests for early July. 8 weeks is the barest minimum, and so we're talking a matter of weeks. We might be able to squeeze things in for the 9th or 10th of July, and that's, of course, for our regions in the northern hemispheres. It's not that significant because there are very few events taking place in July and August, but certainly for the southern hemispheres and for parts of Asia, it's a particularly busy time of the year. Tijani Benjamin.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. I forgot about what I wanted to say. It's important. So I skip. I will come back if I remember. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Right, so the action item on this is to get the next CORP call up, and to also send a note to the CORP mailing list to ask for if any CORP members would like to remain or to be swapped out or changed. Tijani, you've now remembered, so you have the floor.
Yes. It is about this action item. The mail shouldn't be sent to the actual CORP review team members, but to the RALOs, since those members, those review team members were appointed by their RALOs. So we have to ask the RALOs about the new composition of the review team. There are two members. Each RALO has to provide two members. Also, I understood from Rob Mail that also the coordinators should be confirmed. So this is another point. This is something between the staff of the CORP and the RALO. But for our review team, we need to ask the RALO to confirm or to change the representatives. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much, Tijani. So this action item needs to be amended to say staff to set up the next CORP call and send a note to the RALOs, so the RALO chairs and secretariats, to ask if any CORP member would like to remain swapped out or would need to or could remain swapped out or changed.
Yeah, confirm their membership is the term that we normally use.
Perfect. Okay. Let's get finished. I see Alan is getting tired, and we all are getting tired. Any other business? Seeing no other business, I thank you all for having remained 2 hours and 20 minutes on this call. And we have an enormous number of calls tomorrow and for the rest of the week. Thanks to all of you for this. Thanks to staff. And this call is now adjourned. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Please disconnect all remaining lines at this time. And thank you for joining.